Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Energy Stew. And you may not recognize my voice as your host. That's because I am a first-time host of Energy Stew. And I'm here to interview your normal host, Peter Roth. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks, Alexander. I'm so glad that you could do this with me. And you suggested it. And it's different. It's great. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Well, I've been a frequent guest on your show, and I love your show. And you were telling me something really important the other day. And I thought, this really needs to be out there in a bigger, more beautiful way for people to know your story and know what's been happening for you, the miraculous things that have been happening, the unusual experiences and the multidimensional experiences. And what's interesting is that as you were telling me about it, it was all focused around your own need to remain unvaccinated, which is a big deal these days, especially in New York, and especially given your age. So, Peter,
which is old,
which is old,
not as old as many, but you know, I'm now in my 80th year. I'll be 80 in 2022.
And I look up to your wisdom, Peter, and I really appreciate your wisdom. And you were telling me some fascinating things. So why is it so important for you to remain unvaccinated?
Because I don't believe that they're healthy enough. And I even had had input from my spirit guides or masters, whoever is out there who seems to know better. Even before the vaccines came out, they were telling me, physically, chemically, how they work and how they can disrupt our immune systems and cause trouble. And so then when I heard from the scientists who were telling me practically the same chemical reactions that the universe told me, but I had heard them more generally and the scientists were more specific, but I knew that this was correct, that these vaccines are dangerous. And certainly at my age and with having had a heart attack 5 years ago, that I'm not willing to chance to blood clots. I also almost died once of anaphylactic shock. So I know that I could have an allergic reaction. All those things together said, absolutely not.
And I understand that that's been very challenging for you, not just in our society in New York City, but also with your family.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's on my side is that I've had the virus and I have innate immunity, so I don't worry about it. Plus, I also have a good medical doctor who's prescribed ivermectin for me, and I take that as a precaution anyway. And just so my family can feel more comfortable that I'm safe. But unfortunately, as most of us unvaccinated people experience, our family members aren't in agreement with us and feel that they needed and have gotten vaccinated and that I should. And so they're always on my case, but it's quieted down now because I think it's clear that I'm hard to change. But they still are making life a little difficult only because to be with my grandchildren, I have to test negative each time. And I basically outdoors with them, everything is normal. But indoors, I need to mask up. And I'm one thing is that I don't also believe in masks. I'm very uncomfortable wearing them. And I try to avoid them. And I think it's also psychological that it's hard for me to sit with a mask for long, even though physically I might be capable of it.
Right. Well, it's very interesting. You and I were talking about it earlier, this in-group and out-group and who's in and who's out and how the vaccine and the masks are functioning this way in our society right now.
It's terrible that us unvaccinated are considered the dirty ones. And that a while back, Biden came out with a talk about how the unvaccinated are causing the variants and we're the ones who are killing everybody. And that stimulated Charles Eisenstein to, who's a great essayist, I follow him closely, and he came out with an essay comparing what Biden said about the unvaccinated to what Hitler said about the Jews, and how we're the dirty ones. And I'm also from a Jewish background, and my father had to escape from the Cossacks in the 19-teens, and his family barely got away from them. And then he came to New York, and even after being a straight-A student in high school, couldn't find a meaningful job because he was Jewish. He succeeded in life anyway. And so, but I grew up, with my own run-ins with anti-Semites. Some were pretty bad, I had to fight. And it wasn't nice. And I've had other run-ins, even as an adult. And one thing that has happened recently with the Unitarian Universalist Church that I was, when my kids were growing up, my wife and I were members. She still is a member, an active member, and I'm not. For years, some years, we would go to a spiritual retreat in New Hampshire, out in the ocean, a big hotel on an island that you could go for a week. And one year we came back, and the feedback we got, report back to us, was that there was a consensus among that my wife was this wonderful goddess and everybody loved her. And too bad she's married to that nasty Jew from New York. So that really was disturbing, because I did make friends there. I wasn't nasty to anybody. So whatever it was that they were upset about came out as anti-Semitic. And then recently, one of the Unitarian Universalist churches that I'm familiar with had a sermon by the minister. And the Unitarian Universalist Church is supposed to be non-dogmatic, and because it's non-denominational. And they pride themselves on no dogma. And then he gave a sermon vilifying the unvaccinated. I happened to speak to him about it after. I was very upset and was told that this is the national church's policy, is that the unvaccinated are bad people and need to be told off.
What's very interesting to me is that the same group of people that were once anti-Semites, and now that that's no longer politically correct, they've like morphed their own prejudice and their bias to direct it at a new group of people, of which you are part of this new group of people as well.
But I don't want to single them out too strongly, because it's so much a part of society now.
That's right.
And they're just part of it. And they don't want to be vilified by society and have their church harmed by being different in this way.
What's that? It's like they've abdicated their moral responsibility to be moral leaders and moral teachers.
Almost everybody has.
Yeah.
And it's those individuals of us who are unvaccinated who are standing up for what we believe are our human rights and constitutional rights, et cetera, and those are being ignored.
Right. Well, and what I was saying, I think it is, as you say, a general trend in society that it's no longer politically correct to be racist or anti-Semitic or homophobic, but that prejudice and bias hasn't gone away in people.
No, the other is now the unvaccinated.
Right. So now it's okay to be prejudiced and biased and discriminatory and bigoted towards that group of people over there.
Right. Thank you.
Correct all our hatred toward them.
I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you. So what happened was that I woke up one morning at 2 a.m. in anguish. just because it's so hard to be the other, to be attacked on, you know, through my life as Jewish and now as unvaccinated. I just was beside myself.
Well, and you have, just for your audience to know, didn't you have like a nervous breakdown? I mean, wasn't it
in the middle of the night at 2 a.m? Well, yeah. I don't know to call it.
I
don't want to label it. All I want to say is it was extreme anguish.
Right.
And I was, I tried everything, EFT and lasers and elixirs.
I just want your audience to get the picture that you were really in extreme anguish.
Yes.
You know, this was extreme.
It was. And for a couple of hours, I just didn't know what to do with myself. And at one point I just exhaustion, I guess. I lied back, closed my eyes. And immediately I saw my mother standing next to me, who's been gone for 33 years. And she was this beautiful, loving person and just standing there. But without thinking, within 2 seconds of seeing her, without saying, oh, this is my mother and she's here to help or whatever, none of that crossed my mind. Within 2 seconds, I was in total peace. Total. And it was beautiful. And I'm so proud of my mother to have done that. And so then I asked, so where's Dad? And I heard my father. It sounded a little bit distant. And he said, I sent for your mother because I couldn't be there because I'm also so scarred from anti-Semitism that I'm not a pure enough light for you. It was so beautiful. And my mother, you know, not that she said anything or reached out in any way. She was just as pure love, you know, and that was powerful healing. And that says a lot about what healing is and how healing works. And since then, I've really been very different about it all. I'm much more comfortable in my own skin about all of this.
It's really beautiful. And you weren't expecting your mother to show up, and you weren't even necessarily expecting a miracle.
I wasn't expecting anything other than, egad, I hate feeling this way.
And just to clarify for the people listening, it's that you recognized this same feeling of being othered and having people direct their venom and their hatred toward you. You recognized it from your years of experiencing anti-Semitism, that it was the same thing.
Right, exactly. And it's amazing. I don't know why I seem to be targeted in my life a number of times, but I guess it's partly because I'm someone who's here to be a teacher and healer, and I have to have my own fires to put out in my life and climb through. And so these, in a sense, were blessings. Strange to call it that, but, you know, it brought me to these opportunities.
And when you say these opportunities, can we say a little bit more about what you mean?
Well, I just, to deal with life. I mean, I became a third degree black belt in karate because I felt so attacked and I became very confident in my physical abilities in the world and have lived with strength. You know, and I was actually attacked by muggers a number of times and fought them off. And, you know, I'm proud of myself. I mean, you know, maybe people would say, well, you shouldn't have tried to fight them, but I won. So it's like, okay, you know, and so I've had many experiences in life where I've had to prove myself and I've had this inner strength from those karate times, and I was in national competition, and so I really was confident in myself. And even recently, about 2 years ago, I was I walked into a subway car, and a guy came in behind me, and he, I guess, was just looking for trouble. And I never even made eye contact with him or said anything. And all of a sudden I was flying across the subway car. He had picked me up and threw me 10 feet across the subway car. And luckily there were people who caught me. And, you know, so here I'm gathering myself together and this guy is standing there and he's proud of himself, or I guess, you know, not just kind of smug. And I felt brave enough to walk up, look him in the eye and said that, and pointed at him. I said, that wasn't very nice. But at this age, you know, late 70s, you know, what, I'm not ready to attack a you know, a 40-year-old strong person who looks like he's looking for trouble.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the confidence in yourself and the knowingness. The thing that strikes me in our conversations that we've had is the direct guidance that you get. And you mentioned this earlier in this show, that you do have a way to tune in and get direct information about what this virus means, what the vaccines mean. And
right. As I said earlier, I understood that the vaccines were very dangerous. But then there's been talk from scientists that they haven't isolated this virus and that what could it be? And maybe it doesn't exist. And it's like, how could that not be? How could that be true? So one day I was out in the summer, I was on a beach. And I asked the universe, so tell me about the virus. Is it third dimensional? And they said, no. So I said, is it higher dimensional? No. Is it multidimensional? No. Well, what is it? And they said, it's underdimensional. And it's like, who ever heard of that? What does that mean? And so I just kind of left it at that. I couldn't understand that. But the next morning at 5 a.m, so I was awakened by teachings. It was, you know, intuitive being told to me. And I'm lying there. And so I started to receive a teaching about viruses. And I asked, who's talking to me? And I was told one of them was Nikola Tesla. Two of them were John Coltrane's teachers. John Coltrane was a famous musician, but also a very well-known mathematician and scientist. And also one of Rupert Sheldrake's teachers. And it was like, okay, so what does this all mean? And Tesla started explaining that viruses are an intelligent plasmic field. They're plasma. And they work, you know, and plasma is a very magical energy. And to be intelligent, it means it can be creative and resourceful. And so it operates actually as a being, a community. And then through Rupert Sheldrake's teacher, I was told it's a morphogenetic field. So in other words, and likely everything, every species is morphogenetic in that it operates on a macro and a micro level. And so the macro level of viruses is that they communicate intelligently and create strategies and purposes, and that's why they mutate. And how they can mutate in such large numbers together, and why they mutate. And what their purpose is. And so what their purpose is to seek hosts. And we're all hosts, we're potential hosts. And so what does that mean? You know, why are they seeking hosts? And they're challenging us to evolve as a species, to be more intelligent and know how to live with them in a way that, you know, the good guys of the viruses can do a good job for us and don't have to be as harmful. Because viruses serve great purposes in our bodies. We do have tons of different viruses that actually kill cancer cells. They do things that, you know, it's known now that there are really good viruses. And then there are ones that challenge our ability to stay healthy. And, you know, so what does that mean? Well, it means everything about how vulnerable we become in life because we don't know any better. So how do we don't know any better? Well, we don't know because it's a learning curve, and we're learning to take different, eat different foods, have different lifestyles, take supplements and nutrients, et cetera, be out in the sun more. And so the viruses are challenging us to be smarter. They've also been doctored with their energies, their intelligence has been doctored with, so that we have bioterrorism as well. And so, and they're just, the viruses are basically still just doing their job, but they're unfortunately having to do it more harshly. So, so it turns out that they are not as interested in the day-to-day lives of humans on a micro scale, because too many just aren't smart enough and are vulnerable hosts and will die. And the virus isn't trying to save lives. It's trying to evolve our species to make our species smarter. And they also don't see life as the end all and death as the end all of our life stream, since we're eternal beings and we'll go on to other lives, et cetera. So, you know, this is all just a journey that we're all on together, and viruses have a purpose. And I asked whether they're good or bad, and I was told, no, they're, for this reason, they're good. They're really good for our species to grow and to learn to be smarter about being healthy and strong.
So the viruses is that viruses in general, and the COVID virus in particular, is a messenger of evolution.
Exactly. And it's a larger scale. And so we're evolving this planet, you know, and we've lost a lot of lives, and it's very sad. And life goes on that way. Humans, we just haven't learned to be wiser and smarter. And I think that's just the nature of humanity right now. And we see that in, because it's so divided and full of hate and disruption, that we're not ready yet to be all wise. But these are lessons.
Well, I find it very interesting to consider that indigenous populations who are living in harmony with their environment, and I'm not talking about sub-Saharan Africa where there's a lot of poverty and they don't have clean water. I'm talking about indigenous societies that are in harmony with their environment.
Right, where they stayed authentic.
Yeah, they don't have these plagues. They don't have these pandemics. It's when we're out of harmony with our environment that right. Then we have this virus.
And the virus is here to teach us that.
Yeah. You're out of harmony with your environment. You're out of harmony with yourselves.
So you're now your hosts. And that's, so we're doing our best not to be vulnerable hosts.
Well, it's very interesting. We're completely not, as a society, getting the message. We're, in fact, doing the opposite. We're trying to build walls with masks and vaccines to protect ourselves from these invaders who are coming into our space.
Right.
Not realizing that we're working against ourselves by putting up these walls.
We're not taught to be smart about it in a way that's effective. And there are effective means that because of some dark forces, I believe, are keeping us from the truth of what can help us.
Well, here you are, Peter, shining a light of knowledge and truth.
Thank you. I do believe in myself, and I'm grateful to have you as a friend and a traveler along with me in life.
Yeah. Well, likewise, Peter, I really appreciate your wisdom and your willingness to take a risk, because right now it's risky to speak up. And you're here you are, you're willing to speak up.
You have to. It's time that we all need to take our stands.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Which is why you're here too.
Which is why I'm here too, which is why I suggested let's do this show.
Right. It's wonderful.
So, okay, this has been hopefully an illuminating episode of Energy Stew. My name is Alexander Dunlop. I am your guest host today. You can find out more about me and my nonprofit at lifeelevated.life. And here is Peter Roth to tell you what he wants to tell you.
Well, I'm the normal host of this show, and I'm so glad to be a guest. It feels good. And you are a master of source cards, and I refer to them every day in my life and lives of people around me, and I love to be so sophisticated about it, thanks to you.
Thanks.
And your wonderful book called Play Your Cards Right.
Yes. Which is available on Amazon. Play Your Cards Right, A Sacred Guide to Life on Earth.
That's right. And I'm sure we'll be talking more on Energy Stew. So I want to thank you so much for hosting today.
You're welcome. And a message to your audience. If you want to hear more stories from Peter's life and you'd like me to interview him more, just let us know. And I'd be thrilled to ask Peter more about all the wisdom that he's accumulated over the years.
Oh, I'm very flattered and honored for you to say that. So we'll see. Maybe I don't have much to say.
If your audience wants to know more about you and to hear more stories about your life.
I have Monday night classes, so I'm teaching every Monday night at heartriver.org. You can go to heartriver.org and look at Monday night classes. And I work with my intuition. I teach intuition. I work with the human design system. And I also use cards in classes too, because they help assist everybody in all these other things that we do. So I'm looking forward to more and more people joining our classes. They've been going very well.
You were telling me that you're getting more and more excitement and interest in your classes these days. Your classes are really helping.
We've had a good school going for 24 years, but recently, for some reason, there are new people showing up, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
So great. Thank you, Alexander.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And this is Peter Roth, your guest at Energy Stew. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.